Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christians often use words that others in the world do not understand. Words like baptism and resurrection and redemption. Today's lesson talks about baptism, but it emphasizes why life is new when we come to Christ, when we get baptized and take on a new life in Christ. Let's take a look. Romans 6, verses 3 through 11. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The central question that we're looking at in these verses is this: how does Jesus' death and resurrection change things? The big idea is this: sin, death, and the devil have been defeated by the work of Christ. We share that work through his baptism. His work, not ours. Let's look at how we can understand this scripture. We're going to start with verses 3 through 6, which give us our first point. We were once slaves to sin. Creation was created perfect. Satan sought to be like God. It is a mystery why he should seek to be someone he was not. But Satan enticed mankind into rebellion against God, like him. And we call it sin. The wages of rebellion, that is, the wages of sin, is death. Sin was our own fault. Mankind bought into Satan's rebellion, and the result was death. That fault was the fault of Adam and Eve, and in some sense, Adam and Eve's DNA were altered at the fall so that we have inherited the inclination for sin from our first parents. We call it the old Adam in us. At the same time of the fall into sin, God promised there would be a Savior who would save the world from this sin. Until the work of the Savior, mankind would suffer death because of sin. The Savior Jesus died for sin, the sins of the whole world. Jesus took our place for those sins. Baptism is connection with Jesus and his death for those sins. When we have Jesus in our hearts, sin is paid for by that death on the cross. The slate is wiped clean. In a sense, life starts over again for us with our baptism. Before Jesus, we were a slave to sin, which owned us because of our unpaid bill, those wages of sin. But after Jesus, we have been set free of those wages. We belong to Christ. Here's how the letter of Romans describes it. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that's the Adam in us, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Well, so we were slaves. What changed? Well, this gets us to verses 7 through 10 and our second point. We were freed through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the tab for sin. His death on the cross atoned for our sin. Atonement is Christ covering the cost of our sin. Christ rose from the dead. We identify with the crucified Christ because of what he paid for, our sin. We identify with the resurrected Christ because God found him worthy. Christ's new life is our new life. We have been bought back, redeemed from death by that payment on the cross. Christ has overcome death on the cross and has broken its hold on the human race. With no death, there's life. Death is ended through Christ, and life becomes eternal. The focus of life is God. The resurrection resulted because of God. Our baptism is our connection to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Well, what happens because of this newfound freedom? This gets us to verse 11 and our last point. We are united with Christ, that work of baptism. Now let's talk Greek for a minute, the original language that this part of the Old Testament, or this part of the Bible was written in. In the Greek, the verb is in something called the middle voice. That means the subject is involved with the verb. The action is not a passive action. The sense is, in this grammar, that we are dead to sin along with, or at the same time that Jesus is dead to sin. The reckoning that goes on in verse 11 talks about something that Jesus Christ does along with us. We are both involved. One scholar puts it like this: This word reckon deals with reality. If we reckon that our bank book has $25 in it, it has $25 in it. Otherwise, we are deceiving ourselves. This word reckon refers to facts, not suppositions. We are involved in that reckoning process, we and the Lord Jesus. Well, here's how today's lesson puts it. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, so this is how we understand the big idea in this little lesson from Romans. Sin, death, and the devil have been defeated by the work of Jesus Christ. We share that work through his baptism, his work, not ours. We are redeemed through the work of Christ, and we identify with Christ through baptism. The Bible even tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us when we come to Christ. That's real identification with Jesus Christ, Son of God. Or, as the letter to the Galatians puts it, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As we end our time together, let us join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at historic Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104. We worship each Sunday at 10 a.m. with a traditional Lutheran service. Zion is located one block south of State Highway 104 near the historical Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Do you want additional information about our Lutheran fellowship? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. God bless you. Have a good day.